Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And tonight, of course, I have another great guest. Her name is Diane. And Diane, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Nancy. It's really nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Great, Diane. You know what I'd like for you to do first is maybe tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do, and then we'll go in and ask you some questions, and then we'll talk about your book.
Oh, okay. Yes, Money and Manifesting, right? Because I have several books.
Okay, we'll talk about all of them.
Okay, great. Well, I am a clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, and I have created a spiritual toolbox which has a whole line of integrated tools for spiritual transformation. And the thing about these tools is that they all work together. So they're not just disjointed products sitting in a toolbox. They all work together. And what we have at the base of that is a deck of angel cards. And at the very top of that is Money and Manifesting, the book that we're going to talk about. So that's basically it. But more information can be found at my website, of course, which is voiceoftheangels.com. And everything is basically there, which lays it out in a better form than I could ever do here. So.
Diane, can I ask you when your first intuitive moment was? Do you remember that?
Oh my goodness. Well, see, I'm more than intuitive, and I think you are as well, which I think is kind of a rare breed, because as we have people that are, you know, awakening to their intuition now, everyone is kind of calling themselves psychics, but this is more than intuition. This is clairvoyance, which is the ability to see into the future, is a very rare thing. So we probably have similar backgrounds. I saw angels at in my room when I was 3. I believe you did as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been having these conversations with angels for a very long time. So since I was 3.
When you first start having the conversations with the angels, because I know people are going to want to know the answer to this.
Yeah.
Were you like afraid of it? Did it surprise you? Did it feel good? I mean, I know how I felt, but let's talk a little bit about how you felt when that first started happening. Because at age 3, most people go, how could you do that? But just, you know.
Yeah, you know what? It just seemed really normal to me. It didn't seem like anything odd, and I certainly wasn't afraid. And I said to my sister, did you see that or did you hear that? And she said, no, what are you talking about? So that's when I really realized that everybody wasn't hearing that or seeing that, what I was seeing. And also in grade school, I was hearing people's thoughts, which is telepathy, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought everybody could do it. It took me kind of a really long time to realize that everyone wasn't hearing what I was hearing. I'm sure you've had similar experiences.
It's kind of, you know, a lot of people who start off as a child, and everybody, they could, but a lot of kids don't. But as you start off as a child, you really do think that everybody is doing the same thing that you are, or hearing the same thing you are, or feeling the same thing you are.
Yeah.
I used to pick up on emotions. I mean, if somebody was having a bad day, man, I knew they were having a bad day, and they didn't even have to say one word.
Right.
You know, but there's a lot of people, I think, who, you know, started it like that as a child, but it either scared them or, you know, something may have frightened them, or they may have been told, you can't do that, or, you know, you shouldn't do that, just like your sister did you. But a lot of people tend to shut down, and they're in the process, I think, of reopening it now.
Well, yes, they're awakening, and I think the difference maybe with, I don't know about you, but I suspect this, is that we weren't afraid of this because we came in with this. But when you're trying to live life through someone else's filter, that just doesn't ever work. And so I just decided early on that I know what I'm hearing, I know what I'm seeing, I know that these angels are real, and I didn't really ever look to the outside for validation. You know, I just said to my sister, are you seeing and hearing that? And she wasn't. And that's fine. So I just thought, okay, you know what? I know what I'm hearing, and it's real. And I just went from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I decided I wasn't going to live my life through some other filter, and I didn't really understand why other people weren't hearing or seeing. I didn't get that ever. I mean, till, you know, adulthood, really. But, yeah, I just knew that I was, and I was okay with that. And I think people come in with that, and they are judged or so on, and that kind of shapes their life. But I just didn't have that because I just made a determination that it was real and okay. You know.
Yes, yeah. I was very protected my entire life from the time I first started it. I had a freak accident, and I really should have been dead or paralyzed, and I'm neither one. But I heard this beautiful angelic voice talking to me, telling me that I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with you. You know a lot of things now. You just can't use it yet. I thought, okay, nice voice, all right. So that's kind of how I grew up. And I really wasn't allowed, and I have to say aloud, because every time I wanted to say something to somebody, that voice would come through and basically tell me, you know, this is already kind of decided. It's not for your concern. Just let it be. Everything will be the way it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I heard that on a constant basis. So I never really said anything to anybody until I was in my early teens, and that was only to save everybody's life that was in the car with me so we wouldn't die.
Right.
Okay, but up until then, I mean, when I had my accident, I knew I could look at somebody, and I knew they were going to die. But at six, to go up and say, hey, by the way, you have about a month to live, they just wouldn't let me do that, okay?
Yes, I understand that. I understand that. Yes, because you're living life through a filter, you know, and I think I didn't have that. I didn't have the filter. And
yeah.
So I just did whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Which was probably good that you kind of filtered yourself. And a lot of people don't have the filter. And a lot of people start, you know, saying all kinds of stuff. And, of course, people look at them like they're totally out of their mind. And it's like, you know, then they shut it down. And then they wonder, well, you know, what was that? You know, so, I mean, I've asked questions my entire life about why do I have to have this and why do I have to know these things and why couldn't I use it until you let me use it, you know. Questions like that, I think, would be normal for most people.
Now, Nancy, you see, I think it's not so odd for such a thing. And I didn't have what you had. I didn't have somebody from beyond saying, you know, don't use that yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was always, okay, you're hearing this, or go deliver this message, or go say that, or so on. And so we've kind of had a little bit different experience, but I think now, as people are coming into their awakening, that such a thing is not so odd to have, be in the grocery store and have someone come up and say, hey, I have a message for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas maybe when you and I were growing up, that was just not done.
No.
So I think that's changing is what my point is.
And I think it's important that it changes because a lot of the kids that are here now, and even the adults, you know, that are waking up, or the kids who are coming here with it, sometimes they're having a hard time with trying to figure out who do they talk to or what do they say. Is it okay to say this? Is it not okay to say this? So, I mean, there's a lot of thought, I think, that's going on probably more now with people awakening, you know, awakening and trying to follow their intuitive part than there was, I think, a long time ago.
Well, I agree. And you know what, too? The children that are coming in now, well, I call them golden children, and I think, you know, some other people have some different name, indigos and crystal children and so on. But for me, they're very clearly what I call golden children. And these kids are coming in with these very high gifts. They're not coming in veiled, and they're coming in completely open.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening with them is that they're being labeled as ADD or ADHD and so on, and being told that the way they learn is not correct and so on. And so the parents, this is good, because the parents are starting to question that and say, wait a minute, my child is gifted, and maybe they learn in a different way. And that's really true. So these kids, a lot of them are actually being allowed to be who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's refreshing, because
It's really good. I don't know if you know, but I have a 501c3, which is a federal nonprofit status for A Child's Miracle Mind.
I just read that on your site. Yes, yes.
And I mean, I have this big mouth, and I'm not really afraid to say what I need to say about stuff like this.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people get a little upset when I say to them, you know, before you put your child on the drugs, did you at least try some other alternative method? And most of their answers at first to me was, well, there isn't any. And I said, no, it's not true. You know, it's not true. There's a lot of different things to do without putting them on drugs. So then what I decided, because I figured out that these kids are really having a hard time learning, like you're saying, and they are being labeled, but for all the wrong reasons, you know. So I also came up with a leg that goes to A Child's Miracle Mind called A School of Now, that I'm trying to put together a charter school in New Mexico so that these kids that are, quote, not fitting into the bell curve,
yeah,
can finally have a place to go and be who they are, learn all the things they need to learn at the pace they need to learn it at.
Yes.
Plus all of this, the metaphysical stuff, all the spiritual stuff, all the things that really makes up their soul. And a lot of people are very upset with me because I have talked about it when it comes to education, how I believe the educational system is actually failing these kids. They're not failing it, it's failing them. So I have my little thing that I'm working on, and I think it's real important that people understand that there are alternative ways to help these kids rather than, you know, have them be on the drugs and label them as ADD, ADHD. I call them the children of now.
Well, you know, Nancy, you see, I don't know if you know this, but I know who you are because I know you from actually way back when you had a psychic line when Psychic Friends was just coming up. And you had, I can't remember the name of it, but you had a 900 line that you started.
It was like an 800, but it was called Psychic Resources.
That's it, right. Mm-hmm. And we're both from Illinois. I don't mm-hmm. know if you know that.
Yeah.
And I was on your line for a while, and, you know, maybe about a week, because I really couldn't, you know, I just couldn't. I feel like you have to dedicate a certain amount of time, and you can't just be doing one thing and then you're doing another and the phone rings. The technology wasn't there like we have now where you
right.
can sit there and go, I'm going to sign in and so on and so
mm-hmm.
forth. But anyway, my point is this. I feel like this school for you is really now coming into exactly what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you should just pursue this because this is so needed, and I feel like this will be a huge success
mm-hmm.
for these children. And when we're talking about these kids and you say they're learning differently and so on, you want to give them in this environment to be who they are, here's another thing which actually ties in with money and manifesting, because, and actually not just that, but everything that I'm trying to teach, is that in order for everyone to get to where they need to get, we need to learn how to integrate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's integrating mind, body, spirit. And that's the key to manifesting, too. But for your school, that's exactly what you're going to be doing there. Is you're going to be teaching children that it's okay to integrate mind, body, spirit. And I think that is exactly where education needs to be. And that's great because you're going to provide this fabulous environment for children to be able to be who they are. That is it.
It's funny because my logo has a picture of a comet, and inside the comet is a picture of like a little girl. That's actually my granddaughter when she was like 4 years old. And above that curve, it says, Our Hope, Our Future. And then it says, Child's Miracle Mind. Because my thought is, with the way that they're passing out those prescription drugs like their candy,
Yeah. These
kids that are here really need to get their mind, body, and soul together if they're going to put this world back together.
Yes, they do.
And that's the problem that I think a lot of parents started off with, because everybody has a perfect child. It is in the emotional department, the home life, the food, many, many things that can turn that child one way or the other.
That's right.
And I think people are starting to wake up with that, knowing now that there's a lot of alternatives. I'm hoping and I believe that this will do it to help, you know, myself to put it on the map. So it's not just in New Mexico, but really all over the United States and possibly all over the world when it's done.
I hope so, because it's so needed, and they just all it really is exactly what you're teaching your children, is exactly what I'm teaching. It's how do we integrate? How do we, these kids came in and they remember exactly who they are, and they're trying to be in a world that says it's not acceptable for you to remember who you are, and you're trying to do a, you know, whole educational thing about yes it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly it. That's where we need to go. Not just with education, but with everything.
Yeah, so I'm like a big mouth. Let's just say that.
I'm loving this. It's great. It's going to be huge. It's going to work. It will.
Yeah, and I know that. It's like everything that I've done so far has actually led me to that.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I actually started it because of my granddaughter, because she's very, very intelligent, and she's in the Montessori schools. And my daughter was working there, so they kept telling my daughter that my granddaughter had a chemical imbalance because she can't focus, she doesn't pay attention, she talks, da-da-da-da-da.
Mm.
And I got really tired of listening to them say that and hurt my daughter. So I said, Tracy, which is my daughter, next time you go to school, which is tomorrow, here's what you ask them. You ask them that if she can't focus, why is it that she can watch a full-length video movie one time? And the next time she's going to see that video, she knows every single word that's being said by every single character, and she's working on the computer at the same time.
Well, see...
You ask them how she does that.
Yeah, exactly. You know what, Nancy? Exactly. You can have... And many of these children, these mothers are watching their children focusing intently on video games,
mm-hmm.
and then the school is saying they don't have the ability to memorize.
Right.
And you're saying, I'm watching my child multitask with a video game. What are you telling me that my child can't memorize a spelling list?
Mm-hmm.
That whole paradigm of the way things are being taught in the schools just has to go. The memorization of so-and-so, that's meaningless. The ability to multitask, And especially in 3D with the video games and so on, this is huge.
It is.
Yeah, but this is being negated in favor of the old ways of let's memorize our ABCs, let's memorize our... Yes, we need a foundation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's teach them their ABCs and let's teach them their basic math. And then now how do we teach them how to grow into multidimensional people rather than the old way that just doesn't work? Absolutely.
It doesn't. It's very old.
Yeah, it's not working. And I can see that if you remember back before Montessori schools became huge, you know, this was supposed to be a new way,
mm-hmm.
and supposed to be for gifted children, and it became a label.
Right.
And so now with what the model of what you're doing is going to be even bigger, but without the label.
Yeah, there won't be any labeling.
Yeah.
You know, because I've decided that I, you know, myself personally, I would never want to be labeled. And have these kids labeled now and to go through life with a label is just not going to work.
It doesn't work for them.
No. And it won't. Now, you have written several books.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about your book so that the listeners can understand, again, a little bit better who you are.
Yes, it's. I'm about integration, so it fits in with what we're talking about. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Yes.
And some of the books that you have written. Well, first of all, when did you write your first book?
Oh well, the first book I wrote when I was a teenager. It was I wrote it for my little brother. But you're talking about my work now. So what? What really started my spiritual toolbox is a deck of angel cards, which is Voice of the Angels, a Healing Journey spiritual card. That started it. And that was in the early 1990s, before there were any kind of angel cards with channel messages at all. There just weren't any. And what made this different is that the way I made it was that it was a deck of angel cards, but they were based on and are based on a healing journey guided fantasy, which is the guided meditation that all of the cards are scenes from that journey. And then there is also a companion journal that goes along with that so that someone can journal about their card reading. So in the early 1990s, that was the first, that was an integrated, you know, they call it companion marketing but such a thing didn't really exist at the time. And what it really does is it just integrates mind, body, spirit. You have the cards, you have this CD that, you know, you're doing a meditation, and there's music that goes with that, and then also now you're journaling about it. So it's integrated healing. That started what I'm doing in the 1990s. And then when you say, you know, you have several books, everything just kind of based off of that. You know, I have a journal that goes with my CD series, which I sent you MP3s. Did you get them? Did you get those?
I think Marie, my PR person, may have got them. I haven't got them yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a series of music and meditation, which is for automatic chakra balance. And that is, there are seven CDs in the series. And each CD has 6 or 7 tracks of music. And then at the very end, there is a guided meditation for a specific purpose. Now, all of the CDs comprise an automatic chakra system, an automatic chakra balance system. So each one will balance each chakra, but each one will also balance all chakras. So it's also integrative. And then at the top of that CD series is a CD called Release, which is 11 tracks of relaxation music and no guided meditation. So that's the music and the meditation that goes along with everything. And then there is, as I said, a companion journal for that, for journaling about your journeys. And then I wrote an intuitive cookbook, which is, the reason for the cookbook is because it helps you integrate. You're taking something that's very root chakra, very basic, like cooking, and you're creating and you're integrating and you're involving all processes in integrating into mind, body, and spirit with something basic like food. So it helps you integrate. And I wrote the book of daily channel messages, which I channel a daily message on my website every day. So I took a year's worth of daily channel messages and wrote a book there. And you can use that for bibliomancy, or you can just read that straight through. And for those that don't know what bibliomancy is, you can just open the book, pick to a passage, and that is your angelic guidance for the day. And also there is Fishtail of Woe, Lost at Sea, which is a mini book, which is just, it's about entitlement. It helps people kind of get out of that entitled victim mode and kind of get on the path. But yeah, that's basically it about the books and so on. But it all works together. That's the key here. It's a system. It all works together.
Why do you think it's so important that the chakras are balanced?
Well, in order to manifest, and I wrote Money in Manifesting, of course, which is about putting that all together. So here, it is important that the chakras are balanced because we need to open a flow to the energy of money. And if we do not have our chakras balanced and open, nothing can get through. So if we say we know the energy of money resides in the root chakra, and now when we have these people that are trying to manifest with their minds, which is the 5th and 6th chakra, using the law of attraction, it's like trying to manifest something. It's backwards. It's upside down. You're taking a flower and cutting it in half and sticking it in the ground and saying, why doesn't this work? Because things get fed by the root, you see. So it's backwards. The whole thing is backwards. So if you understand that the energy of money resides in a root chakra, then you will go in, clear out the root chakra, and not only clear out the root chakra, but you also clear out all of the other chakras, up to the mind chakra, fifth and sixth chakra. Now you can establish a flow for the energy of money. That's why. So, yeah, you can't, if you don't have your chakras balanced and open, and you have issues in the first chakra, which many people do, you can't, there isn't any room for anything to flow. So you can think all day long about it, and it won't happen. I always tell people it's like this. You see, you want to co-create, and we're biologically designed to co-create. We can't make a child by ourselves. So if the energy of money resides in the root chakra, which it does, if you're trying to, you cannot make a baby with your mind, right? You can think all day long about you can't do it. It comes from the root chakra, so this is why we have to do it. But you have a lot of men who are very good with visualizing, and they're very strong in the mind. And men are biologically taught that it's okay to have that root chakra open. So you have a lot of men who have the ability to make money or create a flow, okay, because they have the root chakra open, their mind is open to creativity, and so they can make money. And you have women who have been taught biologically to keep that root chakra closed. And so they're trying to do this with their minds, or they're being taught that we, you know, make a child in our womb, in our second chakra, and they can't connect this up. Because the root is blocked.
Mm-hmm.
So women are trying to, you know, manifest from their second chakra, and then trying to connect that up with the mind. It isn't working because the root chakra is closed. So, does that answer it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The other thing, you talk about meditation a lot.
Yes.
Why is it so important that people, well, first of all, let me ask you a question before that. How important is it to meditate for longer than, say, 10 minutes a day?
Okay. I am the proponent of easy and quick, and I understand that everyone's busy, and so I designed my system to be done in 10 minutes. My longest meditation is 20 minutes. I know people are busy. I don't really feel it's the length of the thing. It's the quality of the thing. It's the depth of the thing. It's how fast can you connect? And I think people are needing to connect faster. I mean, to me, time kind of doesn't exist. So on this earth plane, I made it in 10 to 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really think it's a time thing. If you can manage to get yourself into a meditative, relaxed state and quiet that conscious chatter, if you have practiced that, you don't need more than 15 minutes. That does it.
Yes, yeah, I agree with you. Like when I do it, mine are quick too.
Yeah.
I go in there real quick, I get all the things I need to get real quick, and I relax for a few minutes, and then I come back.
But you've been doing it a long time, so I think, you know, like I said, my longest one is 20 minutes, and that's the very first one. That's a healing journey. It takes you through all the chakras. It's 20 minutes for a reason. I mean, you know, because it's a beginning CD and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of them, as they go on up, they're, you know, 10, 12, 14 minutes. It's not time. It's your ability to connect. And as you practice that, you get better at a thing, just like anything else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not time, it's quality of connection.
Good. Could you give out your website address again, please?
Yes. It's www.voiceoftheangels.com.
Okay.
And yes, there's angel card readings there, and spiritual forum, and daily channel message, and all kinds of free things. We have a good community going on there.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Do you believe that everybody has angels around them?
Oh, yes, we all do. Yes.
Okay, and I do too, and I mean I know. But see, a lot of times the questions that I get asked when I'm doing my readings is, if I have these angels around me, why aren't they helping me?
They do help you. You see, they're just not... Here, this is a really good question, Nancy, okay? because it goes to manifesting too. We have people that are manifesting from I want, I want, I want. And when you say, why aren't they helping me? Maybe they're not helping you in the way that you want. You see, they're always helping and guiding. But it's like any, you know, from psychic readings, if you're telling someone something, they don't want to hear it because they're stuck in I want. They don't want to hear what you're saying. The ego sticks us in I want, and where we manifest and where we actually move forward with anything is from I am, not from I want. So, yeah, they are there. You may not hear what you want to hear, but you are hearing guidance, and it's your choice as to whether you want to follow it. The ego gets in the way, and the ego will lead you astray, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that people ask me a lot is, what's my angel's name? And I tell them, it's not that important that you know their name.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? I'm a voice recognition psychic, okay? And I don't know if you have that or not, but maybe you do. But you see, the voice, for me, that's where I can pick up on the spirit and the Akashic record.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in the spirit world, it's not about names, it's about energy, it's about a vibe, it's about a certain vibration. So when you say, what's my angel's name, that may sound really, maybe it doesn't translate into our, you know, alphabet here. It's a vibe, it's a vibration, like everything. So when people get really attached to names, that's kind of their own perception of the world and the way the names ought to show up. It's not really a name, it's a vibration. And on the other side, on the other world, communication, as you know, is by just kind of by immediate thought pattern. It's not really what's your name. It's
mm-hmm.
like, yes, I recognize you, and there's a vibration that goes with that. The name thing is our thing about trying to label. This is our label. Yeah, it's a vibe.
Yeah, because people ask me all the time, who's your angel? I said, I don't know, never asked.
Yeah, you don't need to. You know that angel's vibration, and that's how you recognize them.
Yeah, and it's always like, because people look at me like, what do you mean you don't know their name? It's like, I don't know their name. I don't really care about their name. I care about
well,
their energy.
Yeah, it's we that need to, we have a need to have labels for names. In that other world, they don't. They don't go by names. They go by vibrations. So when you're connecting with your angel, you know you're connecting with your angel because it's a vibration. You feel that love and that color and that vibe. You know?
Those are all the kind of things. And that's what I tell them. It's like, you know, if you want to try to find out their name, of course you can ask, but it may not translate the way you want it to.
Yes.
You know, but just feel the energy. You know, let that energy come through, because that is what you're going to relate to more than anything.
Yes, and that's the ego's need to label, and I guess that'll tell you, you know, kind of where a person's stuck. They need a name, you know, they don't. Or I think a lot of times, too, people that call for psychic readings, you know, they say, tell me what I already know, or tell me so-and-so's name, and, you know, so what? It's not about a name. It's about a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I do with people like that. It sounds mean, but it's not meant to be. When somebody says, tell me something that nobody else knows, I refuse to do it. And when they sit there and they say, oh, that's because you don't know, or you're a rip-off psychic, or you're just making things up, I tell them, no, it's not. I'm not going to tell you something that nobody else knows, because you are asking me to hurt you. And I'm actually choosing not to do that. And I will actually give that person 3 warnings to stop that line of question or tell me that I'm this rip-off person, and then I will rip out their heart.
Well, you know, I actually like that approach in terms of telling them, you know, you're not willing to waste your energy on telling them something they already know. And I think that's really a wonderful boundary, because we do need boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why am I going to waste my time telling you something you already know? It makes no sense. If your gifts go forward, which I believe they do, Nancy, then you would say, why don't I tell you something you don't know, and then you can call me 6 months later and tell me so-and-so. But it doesn't really, to everyone out there, it does you, anyone, no good for anyone to tell you something you already know. That is a complete waste of your energy and also of the psychic's energy. It makes no sense. It just makes no sense.
See, and I add to that that if you wanted people to know it because you're proud of it, you'd already told them.
Yes.
And because you haven't told them, it's something that would actually hurt you.
Yes.
And I'm really choosing not to do that.
Yes, and it's so such an important thing that you bring up. I choose not to do this. In everything, anyone that's trying to move forward with anything, you have to get this into your vocabulary. I am willing or I am not willing. And people really have issues making boundaries because they think it makes them a not nice person, but that's not it. It's, like you say, these people that are calling have sometimes this abuse pattern, and they want you to go with that. If you make a boundary, and that's good. I am willing or I am not willing. That's what moves you forward.
Mm-hmm.
It moves everybody forward.
Do you think it would be important to start children meditating at a very early age?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I was meditating at a young age, and I didn't really have a label for it. You see, children don't really come in with labels. And, you know, meditating is simply focus. And I do feel like in your school, you should have that whole meditating program. Absolutely. Because, you know, they're already, these children that will be attending your school, they're already hooked up with who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So meditating will already be something that they already remember, and it'll just be a matter of kind of reconnection. Yeah, absolutely. And I think people are sometimes afraid of meditating because they think it's Zen or you know, whatever. We weren't dropped off here on the planet with no way to communicate.
No, we weren't.
No. And we can't communicate if we're all talking over each other or we have this mind chatter and so on. So meditation is simply connection. That's it. Connection, reconnection, that's it. Nothing weird about it, nothing dangerous about it, nothing strange about it. And so, yes, children actually already know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They already do. I knew how to do it before I knew what it was. You did too.
Mm-hmm.
It's focus.
Do you think that there's any age that is too old for them to start to meditate or to open themselves up?
Oh, gosh. You know, ages, again, you know, that's our label for something.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just don't. Age is our own label. We're ageless.
Yeah, I think so, too. I tell people there isn't, you know, there's no age. We do that.
Yeah, that's our label. These are the paradigms and restrictions and perceptions that we've made so that we can get on in the planet, you know. But, no, there is no age. We're ageless. Yeah.
Can you give out your website address again?
Oh, sure. It's www.voiceoftheangels.com.
And they can get your CDs and everything right off of there.
Yes, they can get the CD series for Automatic Chakra Balance. Everything's available separately, and everything is available as MP3 downloads as well. And they can get any of the books, including Money and Manifesting, and the journals, and the Book of Daily Channel Messages, and the Intuitive Cookbook, and yes, everything is there. Yes. And the Spiritual Forum, I really, really want to invite everybody to my spiritual forum because we have established a wonderful community there, and if you have any questions about anything, you can go there. It's free. We will answer you. I'm very active there, and I find that people are it's helping people a lot. It's giving a place for people to go to get an answer and not have to pay, you know.
Well, I think it's important that people have a place to go because a lot of people have some questions, but they don't want to look stupid or feel foolish or have other people think that they're weird, you know, when they're not.
Yeah, and I wanted to establish a safe environment where somebody could come and ask a question, and it's going to be answered by me or by Tamara, the angel listener, who is also helping me there. And yeah, just come ask your question. It's going to be answered. And, yeah, we're building a really strong community.
Do you still do readings for people?
No, I don't. I retired from personal psychic readings in 2005 to focus on the building the spiritual toolbox. And someday I'm thinking I'll get back to it, you know, but I have to focus on finishing. And I'm almost done. I have a DVD that I'm doing for automatic chakra balance, and one more CD that goes into the top of the toolbox, which is vibrating to opening and clearing the eighth chakra and above. And once I get done with that, which will be October, then possibly I'm going to return to psychic readings. But I'm thinking probably no, but I mean, maybe on a limited basis. The thing is this, if anybody really wants, I'm very accessible. I want to stay accessible, and if anybody has a question, just write in the forum, and your question's going to be answered. And as you know, Nancy, it's always going to be a certain amount of tuning in to answer the question. So it's kind of a psychic reading anyway. I can't answer your question unless I'm tuning in on you. So it's kind of work, you know, I'm tuning in. But I'm just not doing it on a personal, per paid private reading basis, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you go out and do lectures?
You know, what I'm starting here is this. As I'm completing the toolbox, Spirit wants me to offer this for light workers to learn to use the toolbox with their clients. And so what I'm going to do is not just lectures. I'm going to be teaching people, light workers, how to read my cards, how to use the CD series, how to use the rest of what's in the toolbox to help their clients. And so in terms of lectures, really no, but in terms of getting the toolbox out there, yes, so like so. And so, I also have an affiliate program, too, where people can put the free readings on their site, in their own website, and make commissions from that. And also to have, I'm starting to do this just now, opening this up, where if you're not a light worker and you like to have home parties or so on, then you can have like a CD party or a meditating party or a chakra balance party or like so. And so I'm just beginning that. But I will be going around helping people to kind of set that up. So lecturing, no, but teaching, yes. Always teaching, you know. We're teachers, Nancy.
I know.
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not, we are.
Yeah.
What do you think? Everybody is starting to panic with what they've been hearing about the year 2012.
Yes. Oh, gosh, I love this. It's like my favorite subject, because this new CD that I'm doing is Music for Ascension, Music for 2012. And really, the Mayans, and you know this, the Mayans had a calendar, and it was based on astrological and also their knowledge of astronomy. It just so happens that their calendar kind of ended there. That doesn't mean that there is an apocalypse happening. It means that they just either didn't have time or, you know, it was their time to go or whatever, but for whatever reason, their calendar ended there. In the year 2012, the sun will come into the very center of our galaxy. So basically, all we're really looking at is a shift in the way energy flows through this planet. Now, this means that the magnetic field here changes, and maybe we have things that were previously in the darkness come into the light, because we're going to have more energy from the sun. But it certainly doesn't mean that we're going to die. It's not a rapture. It's not an apocalypse. It's a shift. It's a cycle. It's a shift in energy. And so when we're all getting ready for this, what it really means is that we need to transform the lower into the higher. We need to get ready for the intense energy. That's all we're doing. That's all it is.
Yeah, I agree. There's going to be tons of great energy, actually.
Yes.
And some of the people aren't going to be able to accept it as well as some other people, but
they'll
get there eventually.
Yes, they will leave. Yes, they will leave.
You know, and if they leave, it's okay.
Yes.
All right, it's okay. And I don't think people are looking at it like that. I think they're looking at, oh, my God, the world is coming to an end.
No.
And I tell people, no, the world is not coming to an end.
No.
The world will be changing according to what we know it is now. May
yes.
not necessarily be the way it is, you know, in the future. But it's not going to blow apart and disappear.
No. We're not, exactly. And the people that choose to leave, that cannot deal with the high degree of energy, then they will pass on to elsewhere. But you know, death anyway is transformation, and there are so many other things out there. Our world is certainly not it. It's not the end-all, be-all. And it's just transformation. Those people that cannot handle this kind of degree of energy to the earth plane, they will move on to a plane that they can deal with this energy, with whatever energy they want to deal with. It's not, no, it's not death. It's what it is, simply, is an influx of energy to the planet in a whole different way than what we're used to. And so we all need to raise our vibrations. We all need to get away from judgments and labels and the way we think things are, and get out of victim mode and get out of the labels, you know, and open to new experiences and open to the idea of multi-dimensional living rather than what we think is what we see is what we get. That's not it. That's not it. We have to open to bigger and bigger things.
And I think actually the children that are here are going to, you know, change that really well, and they won't have a problem. It's the older folks here that have a hard time with change in general.
I agree. And those golden children are absolutely leading the way for this. And so your work and what you're doing with your school and what you're planning, this is paving the way for this. And so you know you have, you know, a few years to get this done.
I know, and I'm trying like right now. So all you listeners out there who really like the idea, go to my website, donate, help that process. But anyway, can you tell us the name of your DVDs again and your CDs so that everybody knows what they're going to be looking for when they go to your website?
Oh, yes. Well, there are 6-7 CDs in the series, so each one of them has a different name. But the Voice of the Angels spiritual cards is what the free readings are based on. So it's Voice of the Angel, the Healing Journey, spiritual cards, and then we have Money and Manifesting, we have a couple of journals, we have the Intuitive Cookbook, and we have, you know, that entire CD series for Automatic Chakra Balance, and each one of those CDs has a different name, so that you can definitely find that there on the site. It's everything's clearly, you know, marked for CD series and free readings and books and CDs and so on. Yes, everything's easy to find. But it's voiceoftheangels.com.
Okay, we're not quite out of time yet. Almost, but not quite. So I'm going to ask you this quickly.
Okay.
And because I'm sure there's people who know about chakras. But I also have a belief that if the chakras are blocked, there is a better chance of that body becoming sick with some form of a disease.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Because here, it's really simple, Nancy. We have our physical body, and the mistake that people make is they think that they're just our physical body. We're not. We have our physical body, and we have our spirit body, which includes the auras and the chakras, and the chakra system is part of our body. It's just like We need to take care of it just like brushing our teeth. And so for us to think that we can't, it's not there just because we can't see it, no, it's there. Everything, disease, filters down from the outside, and it comes in through the filter of our spiritual body, and then if we don't resolve it in there, then it becomes disease in our physical body. So it behooves us to clear out and understand the spiritual body. It's like brushing our teeth. Just figure it out how to take care of that. And, you know, as we've talked about, I have that entire series that will balance all that. But we have to understand we are mind, body, and spirit. We cannot any longer just believe that we are this physical body. We have to integrate all the rest of us. So important.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Can you give out your website address one more time, please?
Yes. It's www.voiceoftheangels.com.
It's been great having you on my show. I really enjoyed it. And we'll have to have you back again, and we'll just have some more fun when we do, huh?
It's been great fun, Nancy. Absolutely great. And I want to send you my angel cards, because you read cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do that. Yeah,
okay.
I think you'll connect with them.
That would be great, too. And I'd like to thank you, all of the listeners, and please also check out my website. I have a couple of them. One is called www.nancysnancyspsychicresources.com. The other one is called www.childsmiraclemind.org. And that explains a lot of things I'm trying to do. It's also on my own website, too, because I want everybody to see it. I want everybody to understand. So please check it out. You know, I like comments. I like to know what people think about what I put out there, because I put out a lot. And again, I would like to thank you, Diane, for being on this show. It's been wonderful having you on.
Oh, Nancy, thank you so much. It's really good to reconnect with you, actually, after all these years.
I think it's great. I'll have to do that some more.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and start loving your neighbors. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye.